Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Almost Nerdy.
Yes.
Nerdy.
Welcome back as we continue the topic of male gaze.
Male gaze.
I just love anything feminist, so I'm like raring to go.
Yeah, I had to ask Courtney if she was ready to have the conversation today because she was very passionate about it.
Yes.
Which is an understatement. But I get passionate about politics and I like to talk about politics all the time. And I lecture about politics, so I have to take it.
He has to take it. Sometimes he gets lectured about feminism. Sometimes it happens. So this week we're doing Captain Marvel, and we'll be talking about male gaze, mm-hmm. if it's there or if it's lacking within Captain Marvel. I wanted to start with a quick definition just so we're all on the same page again.
Yeah.
So male gaze is the perspective of the notionally typical heterosexual male is considered as the embodiment of the audience or the intended audience of film and other visual media.
Wow.
And it's characterized by the tendency to objectify or sexualize women.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
again, this is really male gaze is a film thing.
Yes.
Even though it's been discussed in other things, mm-hmm. it's a film thing, right?
Yes. But I do think it does spill over into real life because what we see in film media, like visual media, like ads, for example, ads are a great example. That is something that, like, it does spill over into real life. And I do think it has real life consequences. But the originality of where this comes from, it is a feminist film theory.
Yeah.
Like, it comes straight from film.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I think that's very, I didn't know, I think I said this last week as well, like, but I didn't know that it was a film-focused thing. And also, I didn't know that it was just male gaze initially, because I know of white gaze,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know that, like, it's kind of like it branched out of that.
I think
that's really cool to know that, like, within the industry, they do have, like, you know, things like that, like, mm-hmm. where they're actually titling it something, you know?
Yeah, that's like, there's people critiquing what's going on within the industry.
Yeah, that's important.
Before we dive in and take a quick break, I just wanted to say we did a whole, if you're a Marvel fan and you picked up on this podcast because we are talking about Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. we went all the way through the Marvel Universe in a series that we called Countdown to Infinity. Mm-hmm. So it literally goes from Iron Man 2008 all the way through to Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Did we include Spider-Man Far From Home?
I think we discussed it.
Not Far From Home. Far From Home.
I think we discussed it. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember. I wish it at least goes
to Endgame. Yeah. We've talked about so many movies. I can't remember where we ended, but yeah.
So many episodes.
That's a good, like, 25-part series for you if you feel like binging through our stuff.
We really bit into that one.
We love Marvel. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Awesome. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and discuss Captain Marvel in relation to male gaze.
Yay. All right. Welcome back from our break.
So male gaze and Captain Marvel. I would say in most ways, I feel like this movie broke a lot of male gaze for many, many reasons. I would first of all say, I think one of my things is practical clothes, practical shots. Like, the framing of shots and things. Like very practical. Like, there's no panning to, like, her boobs or, like, her butt or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, none of that. Like, the visual line is very focused on her as a person.
So they focus more on the practicality than the sexiness of the clothes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even that, I would argue that they kept her, like, her outfit, like, it's practical to what she would be doing. Like, she's wearing practical gear. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's, like, there's kind of art within superheroes themselves, right? There's kind of a weird sexuality about it.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like,
true.
Like, let's be honest. Like, I mean, they literally make a joke about it in reference to Captain America in Endgame. Like, they make a joke about it. Yeah. Like, that suit was excessively tight that they had on Captain America in Avengers. Yeah. Like, it, that suit was unnecessary.
Yeah, I noticed it even with women, like, heroes. Like, they basically, you know... They actually, like, they, it's basically wearing underwear.
Yeah, they're basically just wearing these little onesies.
Yeah, and it's like, and, like, boobs out, stuff. It's just, you can tell, like, this was not written out of, like, the practicality of the dressing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't written out of that, and it was more for the sake of entertaining guys. You know, that, it with you teaching me about male gaze... It makes so much sense. You know what I mean?
What
makes,
do you mean by
like,
that?
In terms of like, it makes so much sense. Some of the things I've seen growing up is that they were catering to the male audience, right?
So
they were making these superheroes, these comic books, they were saying, what are like boys, what are boys going to watch? You know? And then it spilled over into movies, which basically they're like, yeah, if it doesn't have, if there's no like sex scenes, if there's no sex scene in a movie, somehow there's a certain element of disappointment or a dryness to it, you know? And I think that's something that as men we've been taught to think like, you know? So you expect you're like a female superhero, you expect her to be, you know, not chirpy, but I mean to be kind of like have a dude that she's into or like that sort of thing. You want that sort of vibe. And this movie doesn't cater to that. At all.
Yeah. No love interest.
No love interest, yeah.
No love interest. If anything, they went for almost a like a buddy cop feel, like between her and Fury. And she's the more powerful of them. Like she's clearly the more powerful. And he knows she's the more powerful of them. Like that's made very, very clear from the get-go of this one. Like she can literally do a photon blast. Like she's more powerful than him.
Right.
Yeah, I just think overall it breaks a lot of that, as well as just going into, like, the feminism of the film itself. Like, they just hit on so many microaggressions. Like, so many microaggressions.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of being made by someone else. Like, a lot of times, like, that's something that, like, women face a lot. Especially working women who have to, like... climb a ladder, like a lot of times, like there aren't women above them, so they're like in quotes like made by men because men are promoting them, so it's like there's like this ownership a lot of times that like and that was Yon-Rogg with her like feeling this ownership over her even though he literally didn't do anything
Right.
She's the one who got hit by the Tesseract. Like, she's the one with the power. If anything, they just are inhibiting her power.
Right.
The motorcycle scene with the guy who's like, hey, give me a smile. Like, what woman has not experienced that in their life?
Yeah.
Like, just that blatant sexism. Yeah. I feel like they hit on a lot of those little microaggressions. And to me, like, that's what made it authentic. Actually made it authentic. Another point that I really liked is her hair is not always perfect. Like, that seems like such a minor detail, but her hair is literally not always perfect. Like, when she falls, like, it's messy. And then, like, it goes back into place. Like, I do think that there's a point when you're kind of like, it's a movie, so they're going to make it look good.
Yeah.
Like, her hair's not, like, a hot mess the whole time. But, like, it does get messy in the fight scenes. Like, she's not... Right. She doesn't have perfect hair. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it really speaks a lot into who Brie Larson is as a person as well. Because, you know, someone shared a video of her, you know, at an award ceremony or something Brie like Larson. That. Yeah, Brie Larson. Mm-hmm. And she basically was talking about equality when it comes to reviewing movies. And she's like, who are the people that are watching our movies and reviewing them? If it's a movie for women, are you having women review it?
Mm.
You know, and she was just talking about demographics of that whole industry of like guys who critique movies, and you're saying there's no equality. So people who have something outside of the demographic that you have in your reviewers clique, they'll probably get a bad rating because none of you know a thing about some of those things, of those challenges that each group faces. Right,
so and you might think it's still like, to be honest, like I'm sure like one of the first times I ever told you about like oh yeah, like a dude like telling me I should smile, it's like, oh, that doesn't sound like anything. Mm-hmm. Like whatever, like what do you care if someone tells you to smile? It's like, because it's degrading, that's why. Because it's degrading, and honestly the man's reaction to you, like you feeling like you have to perform for him because then he's gonna be mean to you, bad, like you know what he's thinking.
Right.
So it's like, if I smile right now, then I'm giving in. And now he thinks that I want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I don't want to be with him and I give him a negative reaction, then now I'm the villain here. Mm-hmm. And I'm a jerk, like, for whatever reason, because I'm not interested.
Which is interesting. I was thinking about that a lot. And some of the stories you've told me about guys telling you to smile and stuff like that. I've never had a guy come up to me and tell me to smile. You know what I mean? I've never had a guy come up to me and say,
hey. Or a woman. Have you ever had a woman?
A woman come up to me and tell me. I mean, most times it's because they like my shopping at the store. Those are the only comfort. Like, and it's innocent, you know. Like, so it's like, I've never had awkward conversations where women come in with unsolicited, out of the blue, and say something that's like just expecting me to do something. You know, or a woman coming and saying, hey, you should, you know, walk more cool or something. I don't know. Like,
could you walk more cool?
Could you walk more cool? Like, I don't know. Like, there's just the idea of a stranger coming up to you and saying, do this for me. And I'm kind of curious and out of the stuff that you've been telling me and teaching me, like, do you think that Brie Larson kind of faces the same things where all these strangers will go watch this movie, like all these people, because it got a lot of backlash, like insane backlash. It got
backlash before the movie even came out.
And do you think that some of that is part of it? It's kind of like the people did not get this, you know, that version of a superhero. Like, she's different. Even Wonder Woman, whom we'll discuss next week, is kind of sexualized a bit, you know, like, and there's a one awkward sex scene that they just dumped in there. And so
I can't even talk about,
like, so it's mad. kind of like they, Wonder Woman is kind of like, kind of has some sort of male service, right? And that's what I'm gonna call it. But Captain Marvel has zero male service in regard to the sexualization of the character or the characters around, or like, yeah, you don't see it, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to save some of this Wonder Woman stuff for when we do Wonder Woman next week.
Okay.
Because I do feel like there is a lot of male service in Wonder Woman, and I think that's why her character was so well received by a lot of people.
Right.
I think that there is a lot of blatant sexism within people, and it does, it gets triggered by this movie. It does get triggered by this movie because, I don't know, Shalem always sends me TikToks about Captain Marvel because I just freaking love her. Like, Brie Larson is such a feminist and just such a wonderful human being in general. Like,
yeah,
she's just so cute. Like, she's great. Like, I really like Brie Larson as a person as well as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, like, she's, I'm pretty sure she's one of the producers on the next Captain Marvel movie. I'm like pretty sure of that.
I think she has some sort of, yeah, she's a certain level.
She has a certain level of influence on that. And like, she literally said she wanted it to be the Marvels.
Yes.
Because she wants to see more women, like, in the limelight, like, get that attention. So, yes. Like, that's just, like, yes. If there was not a better, like, first, I have my name on the title of a Marvel movie, like, I can't think of a better person than Brie Larson. Like, yeah, just proud of her.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of things going on when Captain Marvel came out. Like, first of all, we knew that it was the end of an era with some superheroes that we had just spent 10 years with.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we knew that they were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were a lot of people out there who were scared that Captain Marvel, they knew she was going to be freaking strong and she was going to be the strongest of all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew it,
yeah.
They knew that. She was going to be the strongest of all the characters who were there. Like, she could beat Thanos.
Mm-hmm. She can. Easily.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think people were scared she was going to steal the show from characters that they loved.
Yeah.
Which didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen.
Right.
Like, she was barely even in Endgame.
Right.
Secondly.
And they did it so smart, like, the way they introduced her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even for Thanos to even stand a chance for that one moment.
Yeah,
that
they
one
had punch, to give him a stone.
They had to give him, he had to use a stone.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that was done really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also, yes, there's literally no male service in this movie.
There's no male service. Yeah.
None. There's no love interest. There's no, there's like, if anything, my biggest push on this is like, they fell into that black best friend. They fell into that with Maria.
Yes.
I think they were trying to get to Monica because she's Photon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they wanted to bring Monica into the universe. So they were like, we need to have a good in.
Which is now happening fully in the second Captain Marvel, which is called the Marvels.
Yes.
Which I think is such a clever way to, like, just like they did Civil War. It was Captain America. Civil War.
Yes.
So, but that whole movie is not really, you know, it's like, people are like, Team Cap, Team Iron Man. Yeah. It's not about just Cap.
Yeah.
It's about, I mean, it's Cap's, Cap is the main character. He's right, of course. You know, fight me. But, like, he actually, he kind of is decentralized a little bit, right, from the movie. And I think that's what they're doing with Captain Marvel, which I think is great, is in that bringing Monica, giving her a platform to shine. I think she's going to really shine. And also they're also bringing
Ms. Marvel,
who is an Arabic woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm so freaking excited.
But she's a girl. She's little.
You know, she's still
only
young.
She's only like 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
14, so, I think. She's,
oh wow!
She's like a kid. Yeah.
Oh, that's
she's
cool. Like that's kid. Cool. So an Arabic girl, like, she's coming into the Marvel universe, and I think, and we've seen some of the shots, and she looks cool.
Yeah,
she looks cool, and I think that's something that I am super excited about, and I think Disney has really course corrected well, right? You course really well, and even with Captain Marvel, there is no better way, and I'll always stand on this. There's no better way to introduce a superhero who is a woman than what they did with Captain Marvel. We can critique the movie and stuff like that all we want. That's fine. But in terms of their just saying, we're not going to service men.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it. And to be honest with you, like, do you feel like, because we see this in the black community, we talk about white gays, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, sometimes, let me frame it a little bit more, like, with sometimes as a black person, we'll be hanging out, let's say we're hanging out at a store, right, and we see another black person, or I'm with another black person who maybe talks loud, right? I also talk loud. When I'm comfortable, I'm loud, right? But you know, I'm around white people, though, if we talk loud, they'll think like we're criminals, or we're like dangerous, which I shouldn't live my life caring about it because I grew up in a white space. I grew up going to church, and I grew up in an environment that's more about serving others and changing yourself for the community, right? Like, I will, in that moment, I'll be like, I'll tell myself, okay, I'm not going to get loud. Mm-hmm. But then also my friend is getting loud who doesn't even care. I start to almost like be upset with them, right? And say, I can't believe they behaved like that, right? And so now I'm angry with my friend who's actually being themselves, right? Because there are all these white people who are judging us now. And I'm like, you're making us look bad. Do you feel like there's a similar effect when it comes to men? Like, do you feel like Captain Marvel kind of struggled with that a little bit in terms of even getting acceptance from women? I'm not sure about what the response was.
I think this, like, actually, it's funny. This was kind of like my third point that I was getting to, and I knew you were going to hit on as well. Is like, I think the response to marketing of Captain Marvel, because they were like, they were calling her like the Shiro, like, you know, like the you know, they were calling her that. And like, and there were all these, there was so much hype around it because she's the first. She's the first Marvel hero to have her name in the title as the lead, you know? And I just think that everybody like was going crazy, and they were like, this is like the feminist one. Like, if you're a woman, you need to love her. And then like, I just feel like the second that people start saying you need to love someone because you're this, like, that's when people go like, well, I don't know if I love her. Like, I don't know. And I do think that like Captain Marvel is a very like specific type of woman. Like, I personally like her. I think she's very direct. I think she's very to the point. I think she's powerful. Like, I think she,
the
like,
90s vibe.
Has these, yeah, she, like, has these traits that, like, I relate to.
Right.
And I could see a lot of women not relating to them. And you know what? That's fine, because we're all women and we're all different. Like, I just think that that's okay. And it's like, Wanda, like, I like Wanda, but I don't relate to Wanda as much. But I love her. Like, I love her as, like, a strong woman character. And, like,
I'm excited to see her. I love her in
WandaVision.
Yeah.
Like, I love that show. Like, I've watched that show a whole bunch of times, but, like, I don't sit there and go, like, you know what? Wanda's my hero. Like, she's my girl. Like, I say Captain America's my girl. Like, Carol Danvers, like, gets me. Like, I don't feel like Wanda would. And it's like, I know that there's a ton of women who, like, were like, oh my gosh, Marvel, you're finally giving us what we want. Like, this show, like, WandaVision had so much depth. It had so much more than, like, ever. And it's like, for me, I'm like, Captain Marvel makes me cry every time. Like, the getting up every time, I'm like, that's me. You know? So I just think it depends on, like, who you are. And I think, like, having one character and having that much pressure on that character is so hard. And I think, like, I mean, when I look back, right, at early Marvel, when it was just Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, it's like, I wasn't that into Marvel until Captain America showed up. Because then he was my dude. He was the guy I was following through all the movies.
Right, exactly.
You know? So it's like, I feel like everybody connects to someone. And I think, unfortunately, it's like, they were so excited about Captain Marvel. And then everybody else got so excited about Captain Marvel that it was just like, And to be honest, they didn't support her well. Like, when did this movie come out?
The movie came out, when did Endgame come out? I think was this the same year?
Same year.
Yeah.
But early, way earlier in the year.
It wasn't last year. It was 2019. I think so.
Had Me Too happened yet?
No, it was just in the middle.
We were like in the middle of Me Too.
It was the tense time. Very polarized.
Very polarized.
Yeah, very, very polarized.
I think all of that was going on.
I agree.
There was a lot. There was a lot happening. Like, there was a lot going on. And,
That makes sense.
I just think there's a lot going on. And to be honest, it's like, you know, Captain Marvel broke Rotten Tomatoes.
Made over $1 billion.
Well, no, it broke Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
oh, you mean the rating? They had to
change the rating system.
Mm-hmm. People were rating it before the movie came out. Before they even watched it, they're already giving it bad reviews.
I think the movie itself is structured really well. You don't often see movies like that with Amnesia and like.
It's one of my favorite movies in Marvel. Like the flow, everything. I just enjoy it.
I think it's beautiful too. Yeah. I love their filters. Yeah. I love their costuming. Mm-hmm. I love the music. I love so much about this movie.
Yeah.
Like, can we talk about like their CGI technology on Nick Fury?
Oh, crazy.
Making him look young?
Crazy.
Like, that's unreal.
Crazy.
That's unreal.
Definitely better than Star Wars.
Yeah. It is. It's better than Star Wars. It's better than what they did with Luke Skywalker and the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Or Leia. Yeah.
Or Leia. Like, way better. Like,
which is another conversation.
And they also did Coulson. Coulson had the de-aging on him as well.
He did. I think they did such a great job. I love, there's just so much quality that went into this film. And I just want to touch on the support piece as well. Like, I think last year there was a trend on Twitter about the Chrises. You know, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt. And they were like, who's the best Chris Pratt? And people were just saying, who's the best Chris, who's the worst?
Yes.
And Chris Pratt was titled as the worst.
I think Chris Pine was in there as well.
A lot of it probably has to do with his politics, like, you know, his faith and his politics. Like, people, it's kind of like an intense time right now. And so basically, people are just like, Chris Pratt is the worst. He's the worst Chris. Right, and
so rude.
This is the worst. Sometimes Twitter.
Are we voting on this?
Right, like I'm like Twitter, whatever. But basically, the Marvel actors, the big guys, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, they all came out saying, please leave my boy alone, leave my boy alone. But when Brie Larson was going through stuff, people. You know, threatening people. Like, just so much was happening during that time. They didn't come out. Only Don Cheadle is said to have come out and actually defended her. The rest of the guys just were enjoying their
endgame fever.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Like, he's like... And I think that's just something that I feel like speaks to the systemic issues as well in Hollywood, which a lot of people are addressing, like Hollywood. Like, even around the time, we were dealing with Harvey Weinstein, who was a titan in Hollywood.
Yep.
Like, I'm talking about, like, massive, massive. And literally, the foundations of Hollywood were being shaken by the Me Too movement. And I don't know, like, I really think that, you know, Disney could have done better. Could have done better in defending the people that work for them, in defending them, standing for them, promoting them, celebrating them, like just defending. Even it's just something that I found to be very disappointing. At the same time, they have kind of improved. I think they learned some sort of a lesson from it. And Brie Larson has a second movie. You know, the haters can go. Whatever, do something. And, like, I'm so excited to see the next movie and see what they do. The Marvels, it's like, and it's going to piss off every single racist, sexist person, and I love it.
I'm excited for more Monica.
More Monica, right, Monica Rambeau. That'd be so good. That'd be so good. I'm just super excited for what Disney is doing, and... There's just a lot. There's just a lot of good things happening, and you can tell they're course correcting. You know.
Yeah.
And that's something worth celebrating. Still think they're an evil empire. One day they will rule us all. But
Disney.
But yeah, let's roll with it.
I mean, they're definitely course correcting. I mean, even look at they've never ever touched on race like they did in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Right.
Like, they've never, ever touched on race. Even
I mean, no one has really touched on race the way they did.
Even, like, I thought Black Panther felt edgy. I thought Black Panther felt edgy with Killmonger. I was like, oh, they're really pushing the boundaries now. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, like, they freaking went there.
Yeah.
In Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, so I just think that they're seeing, like, I mean, to be honest, like, some of it's just capitalism, I think. This is what matters to the demographic. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of their demographic mm-hmm. cares about diversity. They yes. care about inclusion. They mm-hmm. care about social issues. Mm-hmm. So, like, they need to reflect the stories that their audience wants to see.
Absolutely.
And that's how they build an empire. It's absolutely. Like, they're telling stories that we want to see, and they're yeah. making their characters relatable.
And to be honest, that should give us hope, because the fact that businesses around the world, the big businesses, the big guys, are actually pausing and actually doing something mm-hmm. about the racism, the sexism, it means that we are the demographic. The demographic that's saying, hey, enough of the BS. Let's stop the racism, the sexism. Let's stop it. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that these businesses are caving to us is not like a liberal agenda. No, it's a money agenda.
Yeah, it's money.
Because
it's
that's all where about the money. We are the money. We are where the money is coming from. Mm-hmm. Together, collectively, our voice actually is that powerful. And I think that's something that, you know, comparing what happened with the first Captain Marvel movie, which was like, you know, straight up, right? I think that we're going to have more variety, right? Captain Marvel is going to stay the way she is. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to change for nobody. Because mm-hmm. we are the voice that said, hey, we love this. Let's keep doing this. Mm-hmm. You know? And like, when I say we, I mean, like, the Marvel fans that are not sexist and racist. But I know there's a very toxic side to the fandom. To any fandom, really.
Yeah, any fandom.
But the toxic side does not have the voice. They don't have it. Mm-hmm. They don't have it. We have the voice. And I think that's something that, you know, is pushing these companies to course correct and look at their past mistakes. And, yeah, like, I'm excited to see more stuff that doesn't service men. You know, I like Miss Marvel's costume, you know, because, like, for too long, sometimes they make kids dress in, like, weird, right? Like, mm-hmm. in a way that you're like, oh, I don't know if a kid should dress like, I don't know. Like what are you trying to convey here? Like, and when you, especially when you look at comic books, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that they are kind of like, I think that has a lot to do with Brie Larson. She's just is not down for any of mm-hmm. the nonsense. And I mm-hmm. think that's something that is exciting and encouraging to know, like, hey, we're moving in the right direction. And, you know, as a black man, I'm excited. And hopefully, we get to do better when it comes to dealing with sexism, mm-hmm. you know.
Especially within the superhero genre, because I do think that that's just like superheroes are supposed to be super, right? Like, they're supposed to be mm-hmm. above the norm. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mm-hmm. do feel like there is this, like, even with men. I mean, even when you hear some of the stuff that, like, Chris Hemsworth has done, like, I think I was reading this one thing about, like, in order to get, like, his veins to, like, pop out, like, he dehydrates himself. Like, dude, don't do that. Like,
don't dehydrate.
Like, you don't have to be like that. Like, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, don't dehydrate yourself. Mm-hmm. That's bad for you. Like, right. Some of the stuff that these men do for movies, like, it's not mm-hmm. healthy either. Like, mm-hmm. like, it's not healthy. So mm-hmm. it's like, I just think, like, rethinking the superhero genre on both, like, female and male spectrum, like, yeah. Both ways.
Yeah.
And again, like, I don't think necessarily, like, costuming is so interesting because mm-hmm. it's like, there's two sides of the spectrum. Like, like, I don't think it's the, like, dressing conservatively or not conservatively. Like, I don't think that's the yeah. issue. I think it's the frame, like, the way that they're shot, mm-hmm. like, the framing,
right.
the way that the camera is following the gaze,
right?
Because you're right. the viewer, you're right. the gaze, and it's yeah. like, are you sexualizing the person,
right?
Or are you just viewing someone?
Yeah, the camera tells you what's important yes. to look at in that moment,
yes.
That's yes. a good point.
So I think that's the important part. Like, mm-hmm. like, it doesn't matter if someone's wearing spandex. Like, someone could, like, a woman could be wearing full spandex, super tight, like, showing mm-hmm. off her body, and that's fine. But are you, like, are you sexualizing her body mm-hmm. with the shots and with right. the story that you're telling?
Right.
Or is that just who she is? And she's a woman who likes to wear spandex, right. But you're not sexualizing her.
Right.
Because there's, like, I think that's the main part of, like, of the male gaze. It's, like, you, like, sexual liberation is, like, a big part of the feminist movement as well.
Kind of comes to a conversation last week about Legally Blonde, right? And we're talking about, and, you know, we're still having this conversation. You know, it's going to take a long time. But you basically, you were talking about how, yeah, like a woman can decide that I do want to dress in this miniskirt, right? I don't wear a miniskirt because that's still how I want to dress. But it's not for you. You know, it's not for, even, I mean, they can have their, whatever reason is, it's their own reason. It's none of my business, right? Mm-hmm. It's none of my business as a man how someone dresses or how someone looks. And that's just something, to be honest with you, to me, it's a kind of a new concept because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true. Like, it's not like you're pitting one, like, the modest, or rather, the conservative versus the liberated, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that we don't pit the two against each other. It's just accepting both. And I thought that was very, very interesting, like, when we were discussing it. I'm still processing it, but I think it's very important for us as men to learn about, to say, not just learn about, oh, how can women be more conservative, but more about, hey, how can we respect even women who are sexually liberated, who are like, hey, I want to dress sexually, whatever, you know, I want to, you know, walk around and dressed a certain, whatever, however what she wants to dress, right? Mm-hmm. And then I, as a man, first of all, not judging, you know, because it's none of my business. Then secondly, I, as a man, not feeling entitled. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, whoa, that person looks like this. Then that means they are green light or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I found very interesting from our discussion last week.
Yeah, because I do think, like, the way you dress, like, it's very interesting. It's like, you need to dress in certain colors and in a certain style in a certain way to be, like, taken seriously.
Right.
As a woman. Mm. And, like, that can feel very restricting. Or it's like, well, why can't I wear bright colors or whatever, you know? Do I have to wear pantsuits? Like, do I have to look like these, like, elderly women in business? Like, do I have to wear that? Like, I'm only 31. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have to wear that. So, yeah, I think it's still very complicated because I think everybody just wants it to be black and white.
Right.
I think that's the thing. I think people just want it to be black and white. Yeah. And it's one of those things where there was this one TikTok that made me laugh really hard. It was like, when did you realize that the bar was, like, super low for men but, like, super high for women? Mm. And they were like, this one person was like, yeah, I was watching the Grammys one year and, like, Beyonce performed and she, like, danced her butt off, was in, like, this crazy sparkly outfit and all this stuff, right? And then Ed Sheeran got on and he was, like, in, like, what looked like a dirty t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
And, like, got the same amount of applause. And it's like, that made me laugh so hard because it's like, could you imagine if, like, Beyonce went on stage in, like a t-shirt and jeans? Mm. Like, I'm sure she owns a t-shirt and jeans, but, like, she would never go on stage on like that because, like, the standard for women artists is just so much higher.
Right. That's true.
And, like, I think it's just this double standard of, like, honestly, like, men can be taken seriously in, like, almost anything.
Mm.
But, like, women, like, there's a very specific type of dress to be taken, in quotes, seriously. And if you dress a certain way, you're slutty. If you dress like this, you're like this.
I would tweak that a little bit. White men. Mm. White men.
Okay. I'll give you that.
I think in the black community, it's almost like,
I agree.
Like, you talk about waves check, like, you know, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know the feeling when you're around, like, when you're around, you're like, oh, okay. Or even around white people as a black person, you don't want for you not to seem threatening. I can't just go with scruffy hair, and I have to actually like dress up a little bit more, you know, so that you're not as threatening. So definitely, I don't think it's the same thing per se, but I think
it's the same but different. They're like adjacent. I would say adjacent.
Yeah, it's kind of like adjacent. It's kind of it speaks to just in like just a lot of inequality, right? Like in you know. Two different kinds of equality, like inequality. Two different kinds of inequality.
Yes.
But yeah.
I can see that. Do you have anything specific about the movie that you want to talk about before the end?
I think I'm good. How about you?
I just love this movie. I could talk about it forever. I can talk about it forever.
Forever.
Hacking love it.
I love it too. I enjoy it. It's one of those movies that I can watch. It's a little bit
nostalgic also, because it's like the 90s. Right.
Right. You grew up in, like, I mean, I grew up in the 90s too. I would be like, you grew up in the
90s. You're older than me.
By 3 years. 3 years. I'm an 80s kid. You know, my teenage years in the 80s.
So. I was born in 89. So rude. Anyway. Yeah, like, the movie's a little bit nostalgic. I love, I think the pairing. I think her chemistry with Samuel L. Jackson is good.
It's good.
Like, they have good chemistry together.
It's good, yeah.
Very good chemistry.
It's such an easygoing movie. Like, I can just, like, it's so relaxing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's so relaxing. And the way it flows from one face to another, it's so easy to watch. I feel sorry for people that just chose to just hate. Because I'm like, you're not getting to enjoy this. This is actually really enjoyable. So much fun. And...
You know what is interesting to me? I was again back to TikTok. I watch a lot of Captain Marvel TikTok clearly, there was this one woman who was talking about Captain Marvel, and she's like, I just want to like throw this out there, like I don't even really love Marvel movies, but I just love movies in general. So like I saw Captain Marvel, and all these people were saying it's like the worst movie ever. And she's like, it's arguably one of the best Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most interesting scripts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's got great dialogue. Mm-hmm. It has great fight scenes. Mm-hmm. It's a good pace the entire time. Like, what are people even talking about?
Yeah.
Like, this is a good, it's arguably a very good movie.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I have zero trust for fandoms. Zero. Absolutely zero trust. And let me tell you why. The prequels of Star Wars. That's the reason I have absolutely no trust for any fandom on planet Earth. And they spent years. I'm talking, can you imagine the years wasted hating on the prequels? Like, can you imagine people grew up, people had kids, people had grandkids. I think, people had grandkids hating on those movies. And now that's the thing that they quote more than anything on planet Earth. Ewan McGregor is loved. Do you know why he's loved? Because of his role in the prequels. And I'm like, how is it possible that you guys don't even quote that much of the main ones? You don't quote, like, you know, like, it's like there's
it's pretty much like, I am your father.
I am your father, and I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Some people quote Yoda sometimes.
Sometimes.
Some Yoda lines get something in there.
Literally, like, there's tons and tons. Some people know that battle dialogue between, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker word for word. For democracy. Like, they know it word for word. But it's today now, people are going nuts over it. And I just don't trust fandoms. The other thing is Hocus Pocus. It's like, just do not trust
fandoms. Hocus Pocus got terrible. Anything.
Right, terrible reviews. And now everybody, like, we were at Disney and, you know, we were lucky enough to watch.
For Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Right, and we got to watch Hocus Pocus, the musical. And the moment they started singing I Got a Spell on You, people went nuts. It was like we're at a Justin Bieber concert. And it was just, I was like, you guys, I will never trust you ever again with anything. If you like, because there's just this thing like that people can just go like, we don't like it, and they yell and they scream, especially with Brie Larson. You know, people just hated her. Like, there's some people that hate her so much right now. And I know, I'm like, give it time. Those same people are the ones that are going to be coming back and going like, oh, she's awesome. And we're going to be having those, you know, costumes and those, you know, bobbleheads that you're going to buy for $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You know? Like, honestly, little girls love her.
Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
Like, and that's, to be honest, it's like that's who they're marketing to. Like, yeah, they're marketing to the kids who are going to be watching. Are we on phase, what phase are we on now? 4?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be watching phase 4. Mm-hmm. Like these are the kids growing up on phase 4.
Yeah.
Like, they're marketing to the, like,
yeah,
like, to those kids. Like, mm-hmm, the diverse kids. Mm-hmm. Like, the one, like, Shang-Chi, like, yeah, we're going to have that. Like, yeah, we're going to have a lot more diversity.
A whole lot more.
Like, a lot more.
Yeah.
And, like, it's going to be good. Yeah. It's
going to be good. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, again, I love this movie. I can talk about it forever.
Awesome. Awesome. We can just keep going.
but we'll probably stop.
Right. We need to stop. We need to stop. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. I think this was a great conversation.
Yes. So next week we're doing Wonder Woman, and then we're going to move on to an undisclosed topic. Undisclosed. I don't know what that is yet.
I think I know what it is, but yeah, I think we've discussed it a little bit. But yeah, we'll announce it next week, I think.
Yes, we'll announce next week.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.
Yay.